warning.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Determined to piss the world off by shoving a finger in his face and kick them in the balls.
What are you? Who are you?
This is the Crotch Show Radio Show. Crotch Show Radio Show.
This is not. This is a broadcast transmission.
We're going to stay on the air.
And now, the Weepy.
Welcome to the Crotch Out Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We're on an active war against bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the means. So if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shot. Today will be no different. We got comedian James Inman again, back for round two. No, I'm just kidding. How you doing,
yeah.
James?
I'm fine. Hey, I listened to that, show last night. I was pretty well drunk, actually, when I was, I think I'd been drinking all day long, but it was kind of funny, though. I wanted to get more into a conspiracy today than just talking about politics, because that gets old.
All right. Well, this is kind of, I know you don't want to talk about politics too much, but this is kind of like an issue that's been going on now, and it has a lot of conspiracy theory to it. What do you think of the TSA full body scanners and the way that those retards at the airports are acting towards regular citizens?
Well, I mean, I was just talking to my girlfriend today, and man, there's going to be a lot of people complaining. It's going to be a big news story after Thanksgiving, because a lot of just average people fly around Thanksgiving, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to have to go through the whole thing. A certain percentage has to go through the x-ray machine. If they say no, then they get this real invasive pat-down. And my girlfriend's a therapist, you know, and for people that have been raped, you know, it's just a real scary thing to have a stranger, like, touch you and stuff. And there's flashbacks and stuff connected with that. And there was a guy I just saw on that Colbert Report today he was talking about. And he made a really good point that I mean, the reason they're going through this is, of course, because that one guy had the underwear bomber guy. Mm-hmm. And we all had to take our shoes off because of the guy with the shoe thing. But we were told after 9/11 that we weren't going to let the terrorists change our way of living, right? But it seems like they have. I mean, because this paranoia, this over-security and everything, they really have an effect on society. We should just ignore it and just go about our day and do everything the way we used to do. I'd rather have, you know, a few things screw up or blow up every now and then. Just don't take away my freedoms. I mean, don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny you mentioned the underwear bomber and the whole thing there. Because that airport where he got on, they had full body scanners there too. So they didn't catch the fact that he was, you know, packing a little something extra down there.
Yeah, and there was also kind of some strange things that happened where they found out later, supposedly from what I heard was, they lost the security tape. Like, there was no tape of this guy going on the plane. And there was a guy that came out, and it started in the conspiracy, like, InfoWars, there was a lawyer that said, I was there. I saw the guy. I was on the plane, and he had this guy with a suit and tie that was helping him get on the goddamn plane. And he said, and eventually, you know, the news story went into the mainstream press, and people realized, you know, at first they tried to deny it. But then, you know, this guy, a real credible witness, he's a lawyer, not a nutbag or anything. And so they want to find out who was that guy. They never found out who that guy was to help him get on the plane without a passport.
Yeah, no, they were speculating that he was, a government agent of some sort because he was well-dressed, according to that witness statement. But, I mean, but where I'm coming from is sometimes you just got to question everything because, I mean, isn't it a little convenient that we just have this one guy's witness statement? Didn't other people see him?
Yeah, well, I'm sure other people saw him, but maybe a lot of people didn't have the balls to come forward, you know, because after it happened, a lot of people keep their mouth shut because they don't want to get involved or they're scared. They don't want to get death threats or late night phone calls from the FBI. And maybe that was it. But, I mean, surely there's more than one witness. I mean, the guy's wife saw the thing too. But.
Yeah. I made a little fact sheet that I to pass out on the street last year. And here's some of the points that I came out with. He was an engineering student who lived in a $4 million apartment in London. Also, his father, Umaru, is a rich banker in Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
The flight and the flight came from Amsterdam, not anywhere in the United States of America. So why do we have to be electronically strip searched by a full body scanner when the supposed threat came from outside of the country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it, you know what's and I agree. Yeah, but the other thing that creeps me out is, you know, after 9/11, we're all freaking out, like, oh my gosh, these terrorists are so clever and they're so, you know, they could get us at any time. But after 9/11, it's like every terrorist thing that happened was a complete, like, bullshit, like, small time, you know, loser guy, you know, with the shoe or the stupid underwear bomber that never even went off right. You know, the guy in Times Square, I mean, he was a fucking loser. He locked his keys in his car. It's not like, you know, there's been another major attack that was, I mean, the only other one was the anthrax, and that they proved that was anthrax that came from somebody in America.
Exactly. You know? So, I mean, my quick question is, I mean, who do you think are the real terrorists?
I mean, you look in history and, you know, there's those, you know, false flag attacks. I kind of knew about the false flag attacks that the Germans did even before 9/11. I mean, everyone kind of knew about the Reichstag fire. They haven't really. There's still some debate on how that actually happened, but there's no debate on Operation Himmler, where when they started that war with Poland, they took some prisoners or something, and you know, put them in Nazi uniforms, and you know, or no, they were. They put them in Polish uniforms, and they made it look like there was some, you know, skirmish over a radio station or something. But it was all just a trumped up thing to start a war with Poland. And I knew that before 9/11. I mean, yeah, so that's a
well. I mean,
know,
my question was more based on who are the terrorists now, like in 2010. Who do you feel are the real terrorists?
Well. Yes, I mean, I believe that there is, you know, Islamic terrorism, but there's probably also state-sponsored terrorism that could be trumped up or created by, you know, our intelligence agencies, you know, just to start a war, just like that Northwood document.
Right.
You know?
I mean, so do you believe that there are terrorists within this government, like government-sponsored terrorists, like also known as socialist terrorists? I'm just kidding.
It's like, you know, when you read that, I first heard about that Northwoods document from a book called Body of Secrets. It was a book, James Bamford wrote this book on the NSA, it wasn't his first book. His first book was called The Puzzle Palace. It was the first book to come out about the NSA, and it almost got censored. Like, they tried to keep that book from getting published. One of the first books that were ever, was ever, where they tried to not get it published. There was also a CIA book that, you know, had some parts redacted and stuff. But I forget the guy's name, Marchenko or something. Yeah, that was a pretty amazing document. I mean, especially when you got a guy like James Bamford, who's not a nutcase conspiracy, you know, Alex Jones type of guy. He's a real scholar. And, it was, you know, where they had plans, the Joint Chiefs of Staff had plans to, you know, make a bunch of trumped up shit about Cuba and attack him. You know, because here's the deal. We were trying our darndest to get Cuba to attack us. We're flying U-2 planes over their country. We're flying jets over there. And Castro would not fire. He would not attack us, even though we were clearly going over his airspace. And so it was just pissing off, you know, our, you know, powers of be, because they're like, he won't fucking attack us. So we don't have a reason to attack him. That's why they tried to come up with that idea. But, you know, Kennedy said it was a stupid idea. I think he ended up firing Linux or something. But, yeah, I mean, it's very possible that, you know, the government is pulling off some false flag attacks. I mean, the Gladio thing that happened in Italy where NATO, I mean, that's like, you know, documented, you know, historical record where they, you know, blew stuff up and then they blamed it on, you know, the left-wing radicals there in Italy, just so they could keep communism out of Italy. Or, you know.
Cool. You know, I mean, well, I mean, please don't take this the wrong way, but, I mean, this is, we do talk about conspiracy. I mean, do you have, like, something, like, new? I mean,
because these are subjects that people have gone over, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us were woken up. A lot of my listeners have been woken up by Alex Jones and moved on. In fact, that which also brings me, a lot of people have moved on from. Hold on, we got a question by Jabba. I think if he wants to come on, he's like, I want to ask him more about the TSA stuff. If you want to give me, okay, yeah, he says he won't attack you.
Oh, I don't want to get into politics, but I mean, what's his question? Does he just have a question? Because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just know pretty much what everybody else knows. I have flown before, and hello?
Yeah,
oh,
no,
you're calling
I,
it?
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah. Hey, Jabba, how you doing? You got a question about the TSA, about,
I was just going to say, basically, I covered some of the stuff earlier on the news, and, there's a report that's come out that they're looking into this guy who threatened to, they're investigating the guy who threatened to have the TSA agent arrested, the guy who used the infamous quote, you know, I'll have you arrested if you touch my junk. Basically, I've got another report that these scanners are so good that they can detect a tampon inside a woman's vagina.
Oh, really? Jeez.
Yes, sir.
I just think that, you know, they put a certain percentage of people through that thing, and after Thanksgiving, man, there's going to be a ton of people that are going to be complaining.
Exactly. Which is why for all the lady listeners of the Crotch Out Radio Show, we are now giving away lead lined sanitary napkins. So there we go.
Well, they actually said that, you know, I think one of the feminist groups came out and said, well, you know, if you scanned, you know, a tampon versus a stick of dynamite in a woman's vagina, it would look pretty much the same. So how do you know that it's not a stick of dynamite? And are you going to ask them to remove it there and put it on the table?
Yeah, just be careful. It might be a snook from South Park.
Very true.
Yeah, it just sounds like overreaction and paranoia. And I think a lot of people are just going to, you know, they're going to go, this is just too far.
I think the next point is removing colostomy bags from people to make sure there isn't a sharpened, you know, chunk of almond or something in that colostomy bag that can be used as a cutting device.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I saw pictures of him, you know, doing that pat down on nuns and kids and stuff. I guess they came out and said, oh, all right, we're not going to do children. You know, it's like, oh, geez, you know.
Yeah,
they were doing those pilots for a while. You know, the pilots union came together and said no. Just start saying no. It's demeaning. I mean, the guy's like, I'm flying the plane. Why do you know, you don't trust me, then what the heck's going on?
I mean, and if you really think about it, he's the fucking pilot. He could just fucking, yeah, I mean, and there's nothing really you could do.
Yeah, really. It's crazy. Cool. Maybe they're thinking that some guy will come to the airport in a pilot's uniform and, you know, or something.
Nah, they just need to give, they just need to give Lucretia and the bitch with the wig of something to do to justify the 20 bucks an hour.
Well, they say that they're investigating this guy because their fear is that, well, he left the security area without permission. He basically said, fuck you, you're not touching me, leave me alone, I'm leaving. Their fear is that a terrorist might enter the security area and then leave the security area with some kind of information. And you know, I using logic, would have to say, well, if they didn't make it through security, what kind of fucking information are they going to get?
Well, it wouldn't be information, it'd be more like, okay, a guy goes in and he refuses the pat down and he refuses the complete scanner, the X-ray scanner. They're probably thinking, okay, what if this guy was trying something and he failed and now he's trying to leave the scene and we catch him, you know? The guys, or maybe the guy's got drugs in his pants and, you know, we could catch, you know, people that are trying to transfer drugs or something.
Well, the thing that's not what they said in the article, though. They said that they were worried about the information that they would have regarding the security procedures. That they weren't worried about him getting away with anything.
That could be right. I mean, they're just total paranoid, man. They think of every scenario, and that's the way they've always been. You know, that's why I couldn't believe 9/11. You know, when people go, "Oh, it's just total incompetence," I'm like, "No, man." These guys, you know, they don't let mistakes like that happen. I mean, they have every contingency plan. It's absurd to think that the military didn't contemplate, you know, somebody crashing planes into buildings. That's absurd because they, you know, I mean, they actually found proof that they did tests like that, you know. So I just don't believe the incompetence theory myself. It just, it seems like it's a made up thing to, just to, you know, just to start, you know, finding more out, more about people and turn it into like a state like East Germany or something. I don't know.
Okay,
Well, as I said, if you'll take it at the airport, then you'll take it at the movie theater, the mall, or whatever you enter into next. And, then. For too long, you know, random cavity searches will be the norm.
Pretty soon
you're gonna need to take off your pants and have somebody look up your butthole before you go into Chuck E. Cheese's. It's gonna be fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. I know. There's a great radio show called Phil Hendry. Have you ever heard of Phil Hendry?
Yes, I heard of Phil Hendry. He comes on like really late.
Yeah, in some cities, you know, they let him on, and he's on AM, but it's a comedy show where he comes up with, you know, he fakes all these voices, and he comes up with really stories that would piss the people off, and then he gets real callers calling in just pissed, you know. But he used to have this character called Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and it was this paranoid guy that lived in his basement of his mother's house. And he'd listen to the, you know, police band radio, and he'd go around and do stuff like, cause he thought he was a cop, but he wasn't a real cop, you know, and people, you know, there was one, episode where he was talking about giving kids, rectal cavity searches at the mall because they could be stealing stuff, and, you know, how he's just like, oh, just take a peek inside the backpack. You know, we're trying to save lives. You know,
I mean, I saw this video of some woman stealing a fresh chicken and shoving it up her sniz. I mean, that's probably possible. They could make the case like that easily.
Yeah, but this show just made a total parody of these paranoid, you know, wannabe cops. You know, they're talking about frisking children and checking people's backpacks and all that kind of crap. It's just, crazy.
Well, I always say about terrorism, I've never once walked out of my house and looked over my shoulder for, Osama bin Laden or a ragtag band of Al-Qaeda terrorists. I frequently look over my shoulder to make sure the cops aren't following me, though, so...
Yeah, you gotta be careful for that, the big Al-Qaeda operative, B.A. Barak.
Yeah, right.
If we use the literal definition of terrorist, the terrorists I'm worried about have badges.
Yeah, and it's just the chances of dying in a terrorist act are like, it's like slimmer than getting hit by lightning or something. It's absurd that people make it such a big deal about it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, have you ever seen this documentary, World America's Biggest Gang?
And no.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. It's about, I'll send you the link after the show. It's about the cops, basically, police abuse. Abuse of the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Dan Hope does a bit about that whole, your chances of getting, a terrorist attack. I don't know if you ever saw it. He did it on a program called Newswipe in England. But he sums up just to say, nothing's going to happen to you in your dull, boring life. Sit down, shut up, and call the fuck turkey.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got some crazy stories about Dan Hope because, I've been friends with him for years and I've worked with him. Right after, after 9/11, the strange thing, what I found strange, I found out this later, and I'm sure you guys have heard, but don't you think it was weird that Bush, only a month after 9/11, gave a speech at the UN and said, "We will not, we'll not tolerate crazy conspiracy theories about 9/11," and it was weird because it's like nobody was thinking conspiracy back then. I mean, Loose Change hadn't come out, that French guy with that book, The Big Lie, I mean, that hadn't even come out yet. I mean, none of that stuff came out until years later, but Stanhope, like a couple years after, I think it was a year or two, after 9/11, he started doing this terrorist bit about, what's the big deal, You remember that bit he used to do about, you're trying to buy an egg sandwich at Subway, and it's past 11 o'clock. The guy's like, "No, we don't make egg sandwiches." It's like, I can see the egg right there. Just put it on a sandwich, And they won't make the sandwich for him. So he has his mother come in with a backpack and she blows herself up, Have you guys heard that bit?
No, not that I remember.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well, I saw him do that bit in Kansas City. And 40 people got up and walked out. I mean, it was at least 40 people, and they were pissed, too. They were flipping him off, and fuck you, move to Cuba if you don't like it here. And I was like, holy shit, because I helped him get into the club, there in Kansas City. And then the second show, he did the same jokes, another 40 people walk out. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going up to Doug. I'm like, look, we're going to get in trouble. I helped get you booked in here. You 40 walkouts. This is crazy. Doug, can't you just do something else? And he does the next show. He does the same joke. And another 40 walkouts. And finally I go, look, Doug, come on. He's like, all right, Inman, I'll do some other jokes. And he goes up there. He doesn't do any of the terrorist jokes. And he does this 45-minute bit on its rubber fuck me face. Have you ever heard that bit?
Yeah.
It's just a bit about, his friend bought him this rubber face that you could fuck. Another 40 walkouts. Didn't talk about politics the whole time. 40 walkouts on the rubber fuck me face. And I was like, all right, Doug, just forget it. That was funny.
You know, I think it's a good way to filter the crowd, you know. I say you get all the fucking dickheads out of the audience, and then you know you're talking to the right one.
Yeah. Well, it turned out that the club owner is a real kind of rebel guy. Like, he used to be kind of like in the Jewish mob or something. And so he liked Doug, and he liked the idea that he was such a rebel, you know, getting 40 walkouts. So, it wasn't a big deal. And then eventually Doug got so big that he couldn't even play comedy clubs anymore. Now he's in theaters. So.
Yeah, he's done some great.
I worked with him when he was up here in New York at this huge theater. It was really nice. I forget the name of it. But, he must have made like 40 grand off that one show, because everyone was paying like, you know, tickets were like 50 bucks a piece. And there was like at least 500 or 600 people in there. It was packed. It was sold out.
Yeah, I think he's got a lot of shit to say about freedom in this country.
Yeah, he's been my friend for years. But here's the funny thing. He's always known that I've been like a left-wing socialist, you know, and he's always been like a libertarian. But we're still friends because he's so open-minded. He's like, well, I might as well have one socialist friend, you know. But all of his friends are libertarians. I mean, it's crazy. I'm like the one left wing of the whole group, you know. Yeah,
speaking about comedians, I mean, what do you think of Joe Rogan, honestly?
I've seen him live, and the one time I saw him live, he was just really a little too angry for me. And that sounds weird, but his whole show is about women. And what women do and stuff, and it was just over the top misogyny. And then I saw him later, and of course he had, you know, a whole different act. It's like he just goes up there and improvs, you know. It's like, I don't even think he's so talented that he can just talk about any subject. And after you've been doing comedy so long, you just get tired of your act and you just start talking about whatever you want to talk about. But I think he's a great comedian, you know. And I like his story on DMT, where he talks about taking DMT. I think he took DMT with Doug too. The first time Doug took DMT was with Rogan, you know.
but he hasn't done DMT in like years. I mean, I heard him on another show, Joe Rogan, and he was asked about DMT. He's like, I haven't done it in years.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I mean, those drugs are so powerful, and it creates such an experience that it's not something you're going to get addicted to. It's like a real spiritual experience. I mean, there's a documentary coming out about DMT. I think it's called The Spirit Molecule. I don't know if it's out yet. Joe Rogan narrates that documentary on DMT, and it's just filled with a bunch of, you know, people that say, you know, I took it and this is what happened. But they talk like it's a real intense spiritual experience. So it's not something you just like do all the time. Like, you know, you get addicted to cocaine or heroin. You do that every day, but not something like DMT or LSD for that matter. I mean, you can't even take LSD every day because you don't trip as, you know, you have to kind of double the dose if you want to trip. You have to wait.
Well, I mean, DMT and, LSD is all fine and dandy, but I really see God when I'm eating country juice. So
eating what?
Country juice.
Oh, right.
You freeze country juice and then eat it, or is it?
I actually freshly squeeze country juice, and then I freeze it into pops, and so that way I can have me a nice frozen treat during the summer.
Well, I mean, sex, I mean, you know, that you can have, like, some crazy spiritual experiences on sex. I actually kind of accidentally did tantra once with this girl, and...
Damn near broke your back.
What?
Damn near broke your back.
Oh, right. But it was like, I was reading a book on Taoist, history of Taoism, and in the book there was this short little passage about what tantra actually is, and so I was like, oh, that's interesting, and it just so happened, like, the week later I met this girl, and, you know, while we're in bed, I thought, oh, I'm going to do that thing, you know, that I read in that book, it actually works. It's really crazy. I mean, I kind of did it accidentally.
All right, we're going to be right. Sorry, James. We're going into commercial. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. We'll be back with comedian James Zimmerman after this. You
Whether you consider that torture? Absolutely torture.
You do?
Absolutely. I mean, that's drowning.
Independent voters are now the biggest proportion of our electorate.
This is going to be a public relations, trust your government and your health officials, public campaign.
Smashing through the left-right paradigm, it's the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. Listen live at TalkShoe and check out our blog at www.crotchshotradio.com.
Put down that Dr. Pepper. You're listening to Irritate the State Radio Network. This is Alternative of the Alternative Radio. Do you want to irritate the state? Then unplug yourself from that long matrix parade, leading to disease and medication. This is an old commercial. Disregard this commercial.
Extraction.
This is an old commercial. And essential oils move you to your body that is strong and resistant to diseases. Yes. With good health comes higher energy and clearer thinking. I don't even know why we even have this. This is an old,
order.
Did they hear us talk while the commercial's on?
Yeah.
Kill weapons.
No.
Go it's just the commercials on automation, so.
.com to get your hands on these great products. And launch a herbal revolution in your life. Again, that's the...
We're no longer called Irritate the State. We're called Juice Run the Media now, so...
That's H-E-H-E-R-B-P-R-O-F.com.
Thefood.com, the website that provides fast and easy online ordering from restaurants and caterers in your neighborhood. Some of the benefits of Delivery.com: save money with exclusive restaurant specials, no more busy singles waiting on hold or rummaging through piles of menus. Discover new restaurants and merchants in your neighborhood. Earn points on every order which you can redeem for prices. Sign up today. Place an order with Delivery.com today and get 1,000 free delivery points. And exclusively for Crotch Shot Radio Show listeners, enter promo code TCSR69 for an additional 2,000 bonus points. Only from Delivery.com.
Do you like to smoke but hate the health effects? Well, now there's an alternative. Introducing the ProVape 1. The ProVape 1 is proudly made in the USA and features a larger battery than traditional electronic cigarettes. More battery means more vapor and longer smoking enjoyment, with 8 to 10 hours of use on a single charge. The ProVape 1 brings out more flavor out of the smoking juice. Get your ProVape 1 today at tinyurl.com/provape. Starter kit costs $125. That's tinyurl.com/provape. That's tinyurl.com/provape. Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on irritatethestateradio.net. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Believe it or not, you could get a professional custom logo designed for under $50. Logo Nerds provides small businesses affordable logos custom made to your specifications, and satisfaction is always guaranteed. The Logo Nerds banner on CrutchShotRadio.com and get a logo done for $27.
Hey. All right, we're back. Wow, I'm hearing an echo.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there's a really bad echo. Okay, now we're back. All right, yeah, so right. Yeah, welcome back to the Crotch Shot Radio Show. We got Jabba still on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Alrighty. So, yeah, no. So, where were we?
I was going to...
I don't know.
Something about the whole Stanhope Rogan thing. One of the things that makes me a little bit more prone to go with Stanhope is, well, he questions Alex Jones on some of his fear-mongering. Yeah, he's not afraid to call Alex Jones on some of his shit. So, the last time, Rogan came on to a program on another network, and I asked the question about Alex Jones. And Rogan just pretty well defended him and said, you know, oh, he's my friend, and, you know, I think he does good work and blah, 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 but didn't really address the fact that he does a lot of fear-mongering.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I agree. It's a little too much sometimes. I mean, there's like sometimes when I go to the site, maybe one out of every 10 stories I find pretty interesting, but most of it's just, you know, he's just going over and over the same old stuff. But I had a friend that started a conspiracy site, a website that I used to write for called Media Underground, and he had some great stuff on there, and it wasn't political, and he'd come up, you know, with these great stories that he'd find online, and they're all conspiracy related. Just weird, you know. UFOs, you know, you name it, crop circles, conspiracy, stuff like that.
So that's,
I mean, that's why Alex Jones doesn't talk about UFOs or unsolved mystery things. He just kind of sticks with politics.
Or Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
The Jews!
So, yeah, I think that's screwing up the kind of the 9/11 movement is just this no plane theory, and that, you know, people blame it on Zionism and stuff, and it's like, oh my God, just stick to the regular stuff, you know.
So you don't think there's anything to the whole Zionist thing? I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's Jews. It's just that it's just another group of part of the whole pyramid that is the New World Order.
Yeah, I mean, they could probably be involved. But I wish people would stick to the facts of, like, you know, the how come no jets were scrambled for, like, an hour and a half? How come there's very little wreckage, you know, with Flight 93 and the flight that hit the Pentagon? I mean, both of those crashes, there was very little wreckage. You don't get pictures of...
Well, because a lot of people are more are interested in also the why instead of the how. Because we already know the how. But, I mean, what we don't know is the why and the who.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
we could figure out, yeah, there were bombs in the buildings, you know, they flew drones in the buildings, you know, they told everything to stand down, they told all our defenses to stand down, but who did it? Who's behind it? And I mean, and that's where it comes down to. I mean, the no planer theory, you know, I saw planes. Whether they were military or commercial, that's my only question. When it comes to TV fakery, of course they messed with the footage on 9/11, so we see something that you know they try to change it up. Of course that happens. I mean, the media is complicit in a lot of this crap.
I know. I saw something on InfoWars a while back, or maybe I saw it on ATS. There's a website called Above Top Secret. There's a program, a video editing program, where you can edit video on the fly. You can edit live video, where you're taking a live video and you have this thing where you want to take something out of the picture, like you have the camera down on a sidewalk or on the street, and they showed how you could just take the manhole out and it just would look like a street, but it was done on the fly, live. You haven't seen that? It was crazy.
Yeah, there's actually a special camera that they use for that as well, I believe. And there's a photograph somewhere of one of the news helicopters with that special camera mounted to the front of it that allowed them to do that live editing. So, yeah, I've heard of that myself. And what's taken out of it is the second airplane.
Did you ever see the CNN fake footage of that guy? You know, he was saying that he was in Saudi Arabia when he really wasn't.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just,
oh my God, that is so creepy. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? How did people believe that? It looks so fake. Oh, man.
Well, creative's going to love it, but I got to ask you about the Building 7 thing, too, because, I mean, I think that's the fucking smoking gun on that whole 9/11 conspiracy. How the fuck does BBC know that it's fallen before it's fallen and report on it before it's fallen?
Yeah, I know. That was just so wild. When that first came out, I was like, holy shit, man. I mean, I knew that was going to explode. I mean, so whoever found that, you know, it's just amazing that they actually reported it 20 minutes before. And kind of the same thing with CNN. Like, they were implying that it had already fell down before it actually fell down. There's a guy, David Ray Griffin, writes a lot of good books on 9/11. And he's got a book, World Trade Center 7, and where he really goes into depth. I mean, the whole book is about World Trade Center 7. And he was speculating that the reason why it fell down, you know, later that night is they had some screw-up where they actually wanted it to fall down right around the time when, one of the buildings fell down so no one could see because there'd be so much smoke and everything flying. But, like, something went wrong and they had to, you know, pull it down, you know, later on that night, which is kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, of course, there's the foreknowledge that we all know and that they, you know, that no one can really debate.
Right, right. It's just so, it's absurd to me. You know, and this NIST thing that, he goes and he talks about NIST in this book, World Trade Center 7, David Ray Griffin, and where they didn't even admit to molten steel, you know, where everyone saw it. I mean, firefighters saw it. I mean, even the Pataki, the governor, you see film footage of him talking about the molten, lava-like steel. And NIST just completely ignored it, like it didn't even exist.
Do you tell any jokes about it?
No, it's really, that's the funny thing. That's a good question. No, it's almost impossible to do a 9/11 joke on stage. It really is. I mean, I think I wrote one joke, and it only worked. It's just like really, you know, it's a funny joke, but most people don't want to, you know, it just gets too creepy. Sometimes when you talk about creepy.
There is this one that's really funny that was done by...
Like two pies in the face and one in a field in Pennsylvania.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I never heard that. But I mean, there's I'm sure there's jokes that people tell, you know, their friends at the water cooler, but it's almost impossible for a stand-up comedian to address 9/11. I don't think I've heard of one. If there is, I mean, I would know. I mean, because every comic would be talking about it.
Well, I remember... what's his name? Gilbert Gottfried.
Mm-hmm.
He actually attempted one. It bombed, and he had to immediately go into a aristocrats joke.
Yeah.
By any chance, do you have your own version of the aristocrats joke?
No. But I mean, I was actually friends with the editor, the guy that edited the film, Emery. He got, you know, him and Paul Provenza hooked up together because Emery had a lot of computer skills and he was working with Final Cut. And you can make a movie now on your laptop. I mean, that's the technology out there. It's just average people, you know, you film something and it's all done on the laptop. You know how to edit film. And they did some great work on that. I don't really have a joke for the aristocrats. I mean, it's just like in the movie where they go, it's not a funny joke. It's got a stupid punchline, you know, but the setup is the funny part.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I even have my own aristocrats joke that I written. You know, so it's just, disgusting. I mean, I thought every comedian, that was like a prerequisite to have their own version of the aristocrats joke just in case.
Well, actually, it's a pretty old joke. It's like a kind of an old Catskills joke. So the older comedians knew it, but not the younger comedians. And so that's why, you know, it was such a good idea for a film, because most people hadn't heard the joke, you know. And I'm sure he probably told the joke to some of those comics and just said, here's the joke, you know, make up your own version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are really creative. I mean, Stanhope's version of it is just great. I think there's some in the film, like in some of the extras, there's a whole version that Doug does when he's holding his baby, and it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, telling the joke to a baby, you know.
So, what do you think of Howard Stern?
Well, I mean, I was arguing with somebody once, you know, I was like, what is it about these radio talk show? Like, how come all these talk shows like Rush Limbaugh are so right wing? I mean, there's no left wing, you know, talk show guy. And, I mean, there's no opposing view for Rush Limbaugh. And this guy goes, well, yeah, there is. You know, what's his name? Like you mentioned, you just said his name. I forgot already. Why do I always forget
Howard,
that guy's name?
Howard Stern.
Yeah. And I'm like, he's not a left wing. Howard Stern is not left wing. He just talks about, you know, he just does dick jokes and he talks about boobies and stuff. You know, he doesn't really get into politics.
Yeah. Why does he go into conspiracies though?
I don't know, but I do remember this when he started coming down hard on George Bush is right around the time that he got fired from, you know, and they put him on Sirius Radio. I don't know, you know, because so many people listen to Howard Stern. If he talked about just a little bit of politics, he'd have a shitload of followers, you know, but he'd probably kind of apolitical. He doesn't care about politics. Which is pretty smart, actually. Because, I mean, it's stupid. Just like that, you know, conversation we had last night, it felt so stupid arguing, you know, so what? I'm left wing. I mean, we live in America where, you know, we can all have our own beliefs, you know. It's freedom, you know.
No, we can't. No, I'm just, so, what else we got here? Jabba, you got anything?
I got nothing, man. I'm sorry.
The Lament of Louis. The I Got Nothing curse.
Do you guys look into that? There's a book, Frank Olson, Terrible Mistake. It was guy writing about.
Alrighty,
Ultra.
I'm getting this. She. I actually got her in the chat room. She's like, I wasn't arguing. Call him out for lying. I never said such a thing. I told him that I agree with him. Don't be a puss. Why no hard questions? Come on. Oh, damn. That was actually directed to me. Alright, I'm sorry. Oh, shit.
Well, I mean, I just don't feel up to it tonight. You know, I just don't feel like arguing. I mean, I was drunk yesterday, and when I talk about politics, I get really angry sometimes because I am a left wing. I mean, it's just like this. Everyone is a Marian. You know, everyone is anti-government, anti-tax, you know. I've always been a socialist, you know. When I moved out to Seattle, I got hooked up with a lot of, you know, progressives and socialists. My wife actually, you know, turned me on to some Marx, you know, and I started reading it. It really opened my mind. I was like, holy fuck, I never heard this before. So it just helped me look at the world a different way. But I'm not a communist, and I hate, you know, the fact that Russia burned down, you know, churches and China just destroyed because of the Cultural Revolution. You know, they destroyed Buddhist monasteries, and it's just, you know, it's horrible. Yeah, it's genocidal, really. So I'm not a communist, you know.
Well, I think, so, I don't know. I mean, my opinions about government are my own, and only derived that through researching different ones, and I can see some pros and cons to all of them now, whether or not any of them will ever work, because we have, you know, the greed factor remains to be seen. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's a,
well, I wish that someone
like Tom Morello, who is socialist as well, and, you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, he's necessarily a bad person.
All right. She's freaking out in the chat room. She won't.
Don't let her on the phone again. God dang. I can't stand her voice. It's like when I was listening to it last night, it's like, oh my God. I feel sorry for anybody that marries her. Jeez. I know that's mean, but come on.
Well, have you
I don't
seen
want to
you...
talk about the government. I don't want to talk about taxes. Boring.
Yeah, all right. Back by popular demand. Because everyone's like, Adder.
Oh, God.
So.
All right, whatever.
Alrighty, so if she picks up, let's see, she's woman enough to pick up.
Oh my god.
Hi.
Wow, hi there, how you doing?
How you doing? You wanted to come on.
Ah, I just had a few questions, and just to clear things up, I didn't argue with you. How'd you like those YouTube videos, by the way?
Yeah, I listened to it. I was trying to find it, actually, because I wanted to play it for my friends, and,
okay.
And then you sent me something that helped me find it, actually. So, I mean,
I've never sent you anything. What do you mean?
I mean, I got a comment or something on one of my videos, and so I found your YouTube channel page.
Oh, it's
so
not mine.
Oh,
it's
that's not
mine.
Your...
Mine's Truth Brigade YT,
okay.
By
well,
the way.
Whatever. Somehow I found it.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool. How'd you like him?
What now? What happened?
She asked, how did you like those videos?
Yeah, it's crazy. I was drunk. You know, that's okay. I get so tired of libertarianism because all my friends are libertarians.
I never said I'm a libertarian, hon. I never said that.
Okay, when you start talking anti-tax and you start talking anti-government.
I never said that either.
Oh, my God.
Can I ask you about Howard?
What are you, complete denial that we didn't have an argument last night? You're not calling that an argument? Now you're saying you're not a libertarian? Are you anti-tax? Yes or no?
I told you I'm a divine anarchist.
Question, are you anti-tax? You're anti-tax, right?
I don't believe in force, any force at all.
Right.
So
that's what libertarians say. I talk to them all the time. I don't believe in force. I'm anti-tax. I'm anti-government. That's libertarian.
Why
you know,
are
you
so
can call yourself what you want. I don't care what you call yourself.
Right.
It's boring to me because all my friends are fucking libertarians, and I hear the shit all the time.
Talk to your friends. Argue with them. I'm not here to argue.
Argue with them. I'm the only socialist they know.
Okay, I'll introduce you to a couple. I have a very good friend. She's an awesome writer, Jennifer Lawson Zepeda. You can look her up on Google, and then I'll find that guy and post the link here in the chat I was telling you about last night.
Do
you mind?
I don't literally need to talk to socialists. I was saying that as a hyperbole, like, you know, exaggeration.
All right.
You don't have to introduce me to socialists.
Get back to Howard? Is that cool? Can we get back to Howard?
Howard Stern?
Why do you think he doesn't talk conspiracies on his show anymore?
I don't know. Maybe he was losing listeners or something. I don't think he's really ever been really into politics. I mean, most of the time he talks about women and, you know, drugs and sex, and that's kind of what the show is, you know?
Yeah, I understand, but he used to talk about politics and even 9/11, and then something happened. I don't know, maybe a big $500 million contract.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of people that they don't want to lose their job. That's why they shut their mouth, because that's what capitalism does. You know, some of these people, if they're making millions of dollars, they don't want to, you know, lose that. So it's a great way to control people.
Who do you think he's working for?
I think he's just working for himself. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't think he's working for any secret government agency or.
Why do you think he worships? Yeah, why do you think he worships Arlen Specter?
I don't know. Arlen Specter, isn't he the guy that had cancer? He's a Democrat. He's a senator.
He's the Arlen Specter single bullet theory, Arlen Specter, 9/11.
I heard about that. That was fucking
he's
hilarious.
He's a Republican. He's a Democrat. He works for the mob. He's.
Yeah. Well, I think the deal is when shit like that happens, like 9/11 or the Kennedy assassination, a lot of people's, you know, butt puckers up and they kind of cover that stuff up because if people really knew what happened, people would be freaking the fuck out. Just like if aliens landed and the government came out and said, aliens exist. We've got one in a fucking tank on alcohol or whatever. Everyone would just, their heads would explode. They can't handle it. You know, so that's
why
they cover some
of
that shit up.
Lost listeners, actually. I think Howard lost listeners when he went to, you're right, the dick and pussy jokes and not talking politics. But it's so funny because he'll have Jesse Ventura on and totally agree with everything he says and then the next day change his mind.
It's still, to me, to this day, it's hard. I still have my doubts about 9/11 truth, and I'm still curious, and I look at both sides of the issue, and I try not to come up with and be like blinded by faith that, you know, so I try to balance, you know, anything that I'm studying, you know, I kind of try to keep an open mind. But, yeah, you're right. He probably just doesn't want a late night phone call from, you know, someone getting death threats or something.
You know, Arlen Specter is also part of the ADL. What do you think of that? What are your thoughts on the ADL?
What's the ADL? I'm not sure.
The Anti-Defamation League that was actually brought about, well, you know, the Bronfman family. And we talked yesterday about how the Nazis, the National Socialist Worker Party, merged with the World Zionist Organization in 1923. It led to things like B'nai B'rith and the ADL. And the ADL is the one that is imposing all of these hate laws. They're training our law enforcement that we're the terrorists. And it's, of course, Arlen's involved in that.
Well,
and
there's a great documentary that you would love. It's called, let me see if I can find it. It's called American Radical. And it's this Jewish guy that's talking, against, like, he wrote a book called The Holocaust. God, what was the name of it? Oh, shoot. I have it in my BitTorrent here. But you can find it on, One Big Torrent, which is a place where you get a lot of cool documentaries. Where is it?
Demonoid? Demonoid?
It's more political. Called American Radical, The Trials of Norman Finkelstein. Yes.
That sounds interesting.
Are
you talking about consent?
Because the ADL, and you look at the owners there, and they own all the liquor companies, and then the real estate, and then you look further, and they own the media, they own DuPont. I mean, they're literally owned by the Rothschilds. In fact, they were set up by the Rothschilds in the 1800s in Canada during Prohibition, and then, you know, of course, it was bootlegging from here to there, back and forth. And, you know, so I just think it's really interesting that Howard changed. Just so much, and I just wanted to really know your thoughts about why you won't talk conspiracies or who he might be owned by. But I mean, I think just the fact that he says he loves, you know, that he worships Arlen Specter kind of tells us who he works for, because the ADL is the mob, is the government, is, you know, the corporations that we were talking about last night.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that is, media, radio and TV is such a powerful medium that, that whenever there's a war, you know, soldiers always try to attack that radio station and get control of that radio station, because that's how you control people, is through, you know, is you know, through the media. So
all right,
so
I'm sorry to interrupt you guys, but we only got like 2 minutes left to the show. I'd like to thank James for coming on, Chrissy for coming on, Jabba. Listen to Jabba's show coming up next. It's called Behind the Curtain. Right after this show. And also, James, if you ever want to come on again, feel free. You got an open invitation. And because we got to do this again, because time flies when you're on.
Right, I know. My girlfriend's trying to sleep, so I better get off the phone. But yeah, check out that movie, American Radical, The Trials of Norman Finkelstein.
Alrighty, and also you guys could download this show, iTunes, Zune, Zencast, or search the Crouch Out Radio Show, and this will be up on my site in an hour and a half. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. This has been the Crouch Out Radio Show, and just wait.
Alright, cool.
Yep.
See you later.
Later. Alrighty, so Chrissy, did you have fun?
Oh, yeah, he was much nicer tonight. I had more beer for him, though.
Some of that homemade.
It would have been nice for him to admit that he made up that character he thought I was, but that's okay.
Hey, you can't win them all.
I'm not trying to win anyone.
Oh, by the way, you could get Moose on the show now.
Well, thanks.
Oh, sorry, Moose.